howdy and a third cowboy phrase.
Come on, once more with feeling.
Yeah! Howdy.
There you go.
You are tuned into another episode of the award-accepting Oklahoma Today podcast. If you have any awards, we will accept
them. Yeah, the awards submitted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are your hosts, Nate and Greg, and today we are coming to you live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros from the Vault 405 in lovely downtown Edmond. This week, we are chatting with Rodeo Cinema Executive Director Kim Haywood about this independent movie showcase in Oklahoma City's Stockyard City. But before we get to that, a word from our sponsors. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products that you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at miocoalition.com.
Need I remind our listeners that soon...
Very soon.
Very soon. They will have need of the MIO Coalition when our food issue arrives in their mailbox, filled with recipes, each of which uses at least one and often many Oklahoma ingredients.
That's right.
So that is going to come in handy for the for that.
So yeah, miocoalition.com. And definitely.
Yeah.
Also, just throwing it out there, if you're not a subscriber yet, no rush. But maybe a little bit of a rush. Head to oklahomatoday.com/subscribe and get yourself a year, 2 years,
three years
of Oklahoma Today.
Really, it's the best deal.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But you will start off, if you sign up now, we will start you off with our fabulous food issue.
Which... We just came to the podcast studio from figuring out the cover for that issue.
Yes.
And it's lovely.
I'm a fan.
It's pretty, pretty. Yeah. You're going to want to eat it. Don't eat it when it arrives.
It is just paper. We've talked about this. Yeah. Paper and ink.
We've tried to manufacture an edible magazine and it doesn't work. But speaking of things that do work,
yes.
Let's turn to our guest, Ms. Kim Haywood.
Okay. So why does anybody even like movies?
I don't think they do.
We are so happy to be here with one of our very favorite people in the world who gets to run one of our favorite places in the state. Kim Haywood, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having
me. We're so happy to have you, and you are the executive director at Rodeo Cinema.
Yes, I am.
That's exciting. So tell our listeners who may not know, what is Rodeo Cinema?
So Rodeo Cinema is Oklahoma City's first, which is a big deal, nonprofit independent art house theater. So we are open 365 days a year, I guess 366 since it's a leap year.
It is a leap year.
We're showing all independent films, which have existed in Oklahoma City in the mainstream, but not at that 7 day a week level. Mm-hmm. So we saw a lot of these films that we are showing at Rodeo Cinema skipping over our market and playing in Tulsa and Dallas and things like that. But now people can come to us and see those movies there.
That is very exciting. So what have been some of the biggest draws you've had so far? Some of the movies that have drawn the biggest crowds, the most interest?
You know, it always surprises me, especially when you're programming, and Matt Calley is our new programmer, and he's finding this as well, is that you just really never know. Our audience, which is fantastic, is very, very diverse. So Color Out of Space is a more recent film, and it's doing awesome.
I saw that on the website today, and I was like, oh, I want to see that. It's a Lovecraft.
Yeah.
That sounds
and
great.
And it's Nick Cage, and apparently peak Nick Cage. I know. Not a huge Nick Cage fan. I know.
But Peak Cage, like when he goes, here's the thing. Nick Cage is always crazy.
Yes.
But when he just like, when he buys into his own crazy, that is when art happens.
Which that is what he did. It is Peak Cage. But that one's been doing really well with us. Documentaries are big, a big seller for us. And also people just like, you know, those sort of Oscar nominated films. Like last year, The Favorite did really well for us.
Yeah. Oh, was that not just a great movie?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was hilarious.
If you haven't seen The Favorite with Olivia Colman, go see it.
Oscar winning.
You can rent it anywhere. I'm sure it's at Redbox. It's on all the streamings for rental. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's is fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, we you know, our numbers, we've been open for 18 months now. Mm-hmm. So we're still newbies, but we're growing and people are finding us and figuring us out. And you know, everything we show has its own little dedicated audience. Yeah. And it's going great.
It seems such an interesting, once like a perfect and such a stick out thing in that area in Stockyards. You know, because so much of Stockyards is built around the Stockyards, because it's an actual working Stockyard, yes. Cattle auction, all that stuff. And then for there to be this cool art house independent movie theater right there next to McClintock's and right around the corner from Cattleman's and everything great that's in Stockyards, but you're just settling in, and it seems kind of perfect in its way.
We are. You know, it was kind of so our big thing is we have a sister theater in Tulsa called Circle Cinema,
also
which is
awesome.
So great. Yes. I love everyone there. I love what they do. But, you know, they have a historic theater. Mm-hmm. And so when Clark Weens, our co-founder, was looking for a space to open in Oklahoma City, they wanted that same feel. They wanted, mm-hmm. you know, to not build anything new or just have something historic. So we found this space in Stockyards. We did some modifications. We moved in there. And for a lot of people, it was a hard juxtaposition to make with Stockyards. You know, when we think of Stockyards, you think of Cattlemen's, you think of boots and hats and mm-hmm. all that cowboy aesthetic.
Yeah.
But really, when you think about independent film and the kind of the entrepreneurial kind of just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get that movie made spirit. Yeah. That's really kind of what the West and cowboys have in common. So it's interesting juxtaposition. And I love hearing people come into the theater and say, oh, I haven't been here in forever. You know, last time I was here, I was at Cattleman's, or, you know, now McClintock or something like that. But
it's also the Rodeo Opry.
The Rodeo Opry. Yeah. That's correct. So same building as Rodeo Opry, and they mm-hmm. perform on Saturday nights. But yeah, it's nice to bring people back to that district and to add a different sort of layer and flavor to what's happening down there.
Yeah.
Well, and in many ways, I felt like what you guys brought to Stockyards is kind of the final piece of the puzzle in some ways. If you look at what had been in the Stockyards, it was dining and shopping.
Correct.
You know, there wasn't really there was no place for, well, we've eaten and now what do we do? Or,
correct.
You know, there was no other draw. If you weren't down there to spend money on food, you were down there to buy a hat or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and having that down there is in itself that last piece that was needed
it
to sort of...
It makes it more of a destination.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It rounds out the district.
It's it's the entertainment component, which, you know, the Opry's been there for, I think, almost 20 years now, 15, 20 years. But again, that was nightly. That was just one night a week.
Yeah.
So it does. It rounds out your experience. You can go to Stockyards now, and you can go and have dinner, and then you can go watch a movie. Mm-hmm. And they even are expanding their offerings in terms of just the types of stores they have there. Mm-hmm. So there's some really great little boutiques down there. There's some reclaimed furniture stores, and there are plans for more. So mm-hmm. I think Stockyards, if you think of the growth of Oklahoma City, you know, everything's, you know, moving south. It's moving into the Wheeler District mm-hmm. and south of the river with the park and things like that. And we're just a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, to the west. Yeah. And so I think that that Stockyards District is the next kind of connection to all the stuff that's happening in Oklahoma City and the expansion.
And it's very, very accessible. Just something I use all the time is the river trails.
Oh, absolutely.
It's super accessible from that. So if you live anywhere near, or you want to like go park anywhere near downtown, mm-hmm. you can walk, you can run, you can bike.
A lot of people bike.
Uber or a Lyft if you want to do a ride share. It's so accessible.
It's
so
very
handy.
Accessible. And, you know, we have people from all over mm-hmm. the metro, like Norman and Edmond and, you know, Yukon and Midwest City, because we really are at that crossroads.
Yeah.
It's 35 and 40. It's right there. And mm-hmm. people, I think, forget how close it is to where they are and how easy it is to get there. Parking, you know, you're not at a mall parking, which... Bless the malls, bless the movie theaters at malls and things like that. But it's just there's an ease to it that mm-hmm. people have forgotten about.
And again, it's movies that just aren't They aren't appearing necessarily anywhere else.
They're not.
It's easy to get them, easy to see them. And it's not the same. You know, a lot of independent movies, I feel like what I've always done is wait for them to come to be released digitally.
Correct.
You know, it's like, okay, well, I want to see that. I don't have anywhere to see it unless I'm in Tulsa and it happens to be at Circle. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. You know, if I'm out of town somewhere, I'll try to find somewhere to see it. But, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, well, I'm going to – or the Oklahoma City Museum of Art has had a great Fantastic. Slate of films Love over the them. Years. We should acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
They are awesome. But sometimes it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to see that until I see it in my home. Correct. But it's not – and that's can be enjoyable too, but it's not the same as seeing it with people.
That's
and
exactly getting that right.
Like being in that group
and the immersive the spirit of seeing it with an audience is one thing, but also the immersive nature of that truly big screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like and the darkened room, mm-hmm. and there's just something about being at the movies, not mm-hmm. watching a movie at home or yeah. you know, because there's less a sense of urgency at home.
Yeah. Sure. You know, something that we talk about a lot at Rodeo Cinema is we talk about the experience of films.
Mm.
And when you experience a film, that's not really something you can do at home in your pajamas laying in bed on your laptop, which right. I'm guilty of. I love so much. I love to stream some stuff in my PJs and no makeup. But, you know.
Same.
Yeah. But we like to have filmmakers in
yeah.
to speak about their films after the screening. We like to have panel discussions. If there's a documentary that, you know, is topical to something that's happening or another nonprofit group in Oklahoma City, we like to bring them in so they can speak afterwards. So it really is just experiential, which is something that you're not going to get from doing that. And to what Greg said, yeah, there is something really awesome about emoting the same emotions with other people. Like if you're all in this darkened room together yeah. and there's something that's funny at home, it's hilarious with other yes. people. If you're sad, yeah. you're sad together. There's something really beautiful. And I think, unfortunately, we've gotten out of that yeah. experiencing film with others
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I will never forget, I went to see Lady Bird with some friends at the yeah. Tower Theater here yeah. in Oklahoma City. And they also, we should
Tower
mention,
Theater.
Too, Tower Theater also has great. A great slate of films.
Love those guys.
We would see Lady Bird, and Lady Bird is a wonderful movie,
mm-hmm.
powerful movie. And the group of us that went next door to the Bunker Club after the movie was over, and we and a lot of other people who were seeing the movie at the same time, you know, with us. There's just a lot of people over at the Bunker Club just sort of staring,
like what just sort of being happened? Like, "How did they
yeah,
know?"
Yeah, like
childhood?
I heard more than one person be like, "I got some of those speeches word for uh-huh. word from my own mother." And so like it was a really interesting sort of like we're in this bar and everyone sort of just got their drink in front of them and they're not drinking and they're just sort of like staring. Like,
yeah,
you know. And it's like we're all there. It's like you said, we're all there together.
All there together.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
To experience.
And one of the things too, you mentioned bringing in filmmakers to talk about films, mm-hmm. and we should mention also that for many years you were the head of programming at the Dead Center Film Festival.
That is correct.
So you know your stuff. You know your way around an independent film and
ish.
All that ish. You're going to get the hang of this one of these days,
Thank
and
you.
It's going to be adequate.
After 20 years,
yeah,
you're adequate at your job. yeah.
That word we all strive to have expected to us. But I think that's a really, like, what do you feel like when someone has that experience for the first time of hearing someone talk about making a movie? What is that? What do you see happening with people? They're kind of dots connecting and things like that.
It is. It really is connecting. You know, I think film is art. And people don't think of it that way because it's so prevalent. And if you think about film as art, it is the most prevalent art form. You know, not everyone's going to ballet. Not everyone's going to, you know, the Philharmonic, which you should if you're not going
Absolutely,
to either of those.
Absolutely, yes.
But to hear a filmmaker talk about their struggles in making a movie, how they had to get the money together, if you have other crew members there, you understand the ginormous puzzle that is filmmaking, and you understand the passion behind the people who are working their rear ends off and killing themselves to tell these really beautiful, amazing stories, which you find in independent films, in my mind, more so than mainstream movies. So it is very special to watch people understand and, like you said, connect those dots when listening to these filmmakers.
Yeah. What are some films you're excited about that are either coming up or that you hope to have coming up?
Oh, well, in terms of coming up, I know that Sundance it's actually still happening now, but it's wrapping up. I was unable to attend this year, but our colleagues at Dead Center and Circle Cinema were there, and they keep getting back with me on, you know, here are these amazing films, we're going to bring them in. So working on that. And there's some, you know, Dead Center films. Like, that's another place where we are looking for content. So we just screened Red Dog, which screened at Dead Center, which was very, very...
Which is a film with an Oklahoma heart and soul.
With an Oklahoma heart and soul. Yeah. So we had tons of feedback about...
And other parts.
And other parts, indeed. Other parts, true, yeah. True. So we had a lot of feedback from people at Dead Center who saw it and wanted to bring back. We did that. On Valentine's Day, we're opening Come As You Are, which is another film from Dead Center. There's... And we're constantly looking for things. And again, we're looking for things that are varied in topic and also audience to make sure that we're fulfilling, you know, anything and everything that we can do.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Greg, you had a question.
I was kind of hit by that point that you made about film as art and how it is crazy that we've sort of gotten to the point where so many people just view it as entertainment.
It's entertainment. For 100 plus years, it's been just entertainment.
And it really, you know, and I've been sort of processing through some feelings lately about, some things that I've watched or things that I've read that I hit the end point and was deeply affected, not just by the content of it, but also this sort of feeling of longing that happens when something you really enjoy, something you really love, and something that sort of hits pieces of you that you did not realize were vulnerable or exposed.
Yeah, sure.
And nowhere does that happen. I mean, and while I certainly agree with you, it happens a lot more in independent film where that's more the aim. I remember we saw the staff of Oklahoma Today went to see the Avengers Endgame together at the theater, and there's this part where, like, you know, spoiler for the end. Anyway, there's a big scene where something very happy starts to happen, and I found myself weirdly affected by that, and I realized that I actually avoid a lot of entertainment that hits me, partially because I'm a robot and I don't enjoy emotions. But also because when it does get you, when something finds its way through those cracks in your armor, it's such a more intense feeling for the absence of it otherwise. And so I love the idea that we've created this space, space with at Rodeo that is so inviting to people. And it's like, this is entertainment and you are going to enjoy it, but also it's art, and we're going to not just give you a place to process these emotions around other people. We're also going to invite in the people who made this so that you can share those reactions with them. And I think it's you're feeding future cinema as well, because people who come in and are talking about their films and are hearing from you that it's like, you know, that after watching Lady Bird, you are so deeply affected by that. How does that person not say, I got to go make another movie? Like, that's got to be an addictive feeling, right?
And Greta Gerwig did.
She did. Little Women, and she's doing great. No, it's, in addition to those experiences being important to the audience, those are very important to the filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned at Dead Center because, you know, again, these independent filmmakers are just struggling, not always, but I mean, they work so hard and so passionate that to receive that kind of feedback of, hey, your film really affected me in this way. I mean, I've made films, man, you can get down on yourself and just hate your life and just like, why am I doing this? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
But to be able to have an audience like respond to your movie is exactly the fuel that these filmmakers need to continue on and to keep telling these stories, because oftentimes with any art form, you're like, why am I doing this? Does anyone really care? Yes. No, they do care. And so you're right. It's not just a platform for the audience to react, but it's something that the filmmakers need also just to be able to carry on and do their next project.
Yeah. Well, and it's also a good way too. And I wanted to say too, just tacking onto your point about it being art, it's not just art, it's several arts.
Oh.
So it's acting, it's lighting, it's photography, it's writing, it's directing. These producing, raising the money to make a film is an art.
It is an art. And hard. Like,
I mean, you're seeing a lot of different talents on that screen, and a lot of them you don't know you're seeing.
Right.
Until they're done wrong. Like sound design. I never think about the sound design in a movie until it's bad.
Until it's not
I never think of the lighting in a movie unless it's bad, right? Like, when it's done, it's one of the things that I find so beautiful about film is that when all these various talents are coming together, you don't even notice that they're happening.
Exactly.
You're immersed.
Which, as you should be.
Yes.
When something throws you out of the experience, that's when something's gone
wrong. Then you're in Mystery Science Theater. But the other thing that's really cool about, you know, we talk about hearing from directors and giving and being able to give them feedback is you can discover a new favorite filmmaker this way. I mean,
absolutely.
I first heard the name Taika Waititi at Dead Center.
Nice.
Because of Hunt for the Wilder People.
And now Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit is nominated for Best Picture. He's about to direct his second Marvel movie, which his first one, Thor Ragnarok, is my favorite of that genre.
Yeah.
My favorite superhero movie ever.
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
That's where I found him and fell in love with him. And then when Hunt for the Wilder People came available to us, I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, he's my favorite.
Yeah, and now he's big, Hollywood dude. Yeah. So, like, you can sort of get in on the ground level of these people and discover, kind of follow their work, and then, you know, they go make something like Thor Ragnarok, and you think, you did something like that in Hunt for the Wilder People, you did something like this in What We Do in the Shadows, you know, like, you know, like, you start to see these kind of common threads and what this person is saying in their work.
Yeah. We had a screening this summer of Fathers of Football, a film by Brad Beasley, who's an Oklahoma filmmaker. Oklahoma filmmaker. Now down in Austin, living and working and doing some stuff up here as well. But after Fathers of Football, a couple came up to me and said, tell me about this guy. What else has he done? And they are like Brad Beasley converts now. I think they probably have gone out and bought and rented all the stuff. But that's again, awesome for them as an audience. Be like, oh, I have this new favorite director because I love how he tells stories. But also for Bradley, again, who's, you know, working his hiney off to be able to say, oh, great, I have these new people. And who knows, maybe they'll give him money or maybe they'll go to the next festival he's in or see his movies. It's just a win-win for everybody.
I think of it like seeing, because I see so much live music too. I think of it like seeing shows at like the Blue Door or the Tower. And, you know, like, that person on that stage is going to be down there by the stage later, and you can just go down and be like, that was amazing.
Right.
You know, you can have them sign your CD. It's that same kind of thing, right? You can just go down and have that personal one-on-one connection, be like, that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And find new artists that you love that way and really
and
dig
get
into
to know
the
them.
Music.
And it's wonderful. So we were having a conversation earlier this week at the office that we saw. It's based on a meme that we saw this week. What we were talking about, what is our favorite movie that is widely regarded as being terrible? I feel like I can't let you leave this podcast studio without talking about this a little bit.
I don't know if people
because I feel
think
like
it's terrible,
easy
though.
To be like, here's a movie everyone loves that I can't stand,
okay.
right? Like,
okay.
that's an easy
okay.
one, I feel
okay.
like, right? We all have that, but what's a movie that everyone hates that you love?
Okay, so I have two. The first one that came to mind, I don't know if people hate it. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Do people hate that movie?
Oh, no, I love that movie.
Great.
Okay,
I love Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Thank you. Okay.
I will say this, and we don't have time to do this now, but the challenge was based on the Rotten Tomatoes score. Like, look up, like, what's got the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score of any movie that you love?
Oh,
but we, you know, but yeah, I think.
I also really... She-Devil? Like, I'm kind of a fan
of that.
The
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr and Meryl Streep.
Oh, that you're both a gasp. Does that mean you hate it? Are you surprised?
I'm shocked that I remember it, frankly.
I love it. Okay,
dang it. Okay.
I actually did see it recently enough that I remember thinking, I feel like Michelle or Meryl Streep is playing Alexis from Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie. Like, the man, like, the characters are so similar, and I never would have put that together had I not seen it recently.
And
that wasn't
enough,
a curse if you haven't seen the show Schitt's Creek.
It's good. Yes.
It's a television
language. The spelling is different.
Yeah.
No. I think, is it Tom Cruise? Is it? No, it's. It's called The Day After, The Morning After, Something After.
The Day After Tomorrow,
Day
maybe?
Tomorrow. Is that, would
Jake
that be
Gyllenhaal?
Action?
Yeah, that was like a disaster.
It's like an action disaster movie.
Okay, so there we go.
So mine was, I had a couple. One of mine was Twister.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
every
okay.
time Twister's on television, I will stop and watch it, and I understand that it's terrible. I actually understand better than anyone else. I know
terrible.
How terrible it is because I have seen it so many times.
But
it's
like,
not good.
It's like Shawshank. Like, if Shawshank's on, you got to watch it.
Yeah, you stop.
If you're doing dishes or laundry, you listen to it in the background.
And the other one was Tremors. If it's on, I stop.
Oh, Tremors is good too.
I love that movie, and it got terrible reviews. It did really badly at the box office, but it spawned like seven.
Boy, so many.
And didn't it have a TV series or something based on?
Yeah, they did. And then they were going to do one with Kevin Bacon, and then it got canceled. But my one that is like widely regarded as terrible is an old Peter Bogdanovich movie called Noises Off.
I have not seen it.
It's wonderful. Okay, here's the cast. Carol Burnett.
Love her.
That's why I got it. Like, that's why I rented it. Because anything Carol Burnett's in, I'm there for. Uh-huh. I don't care. Do you know how many times I've seen Annie? Anyway, Michael Caine.
Love him.
Love him. Nicolette Sheridan.
Oh, love.
John Ritter. Hmm. This is from, like, 1992. John Ritter, who's hilarious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good at pratfalls.
Yes.
Christopher Reeve. So this is sort of a, like, late, great, you know, like, round up the people, right?
Right.
Mary Lou Henner from Taxi. Okay, I can never remember. Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers, whose name I don't know. Perfect
Strangers. I believe it's Mark.
Sure. And Julie Haggerty from Airplane, who played the lady in Airplane.
And is that a guilty pleasure of yours?
No. I have no guilt about it. It was very poorly reviewed, but I love Peter Bogdanovich. Yeah. One, as a director, I think he's great. And I love everyone in that cast. I think it's hilarious. It's like a British farce. It was adapted from a Broadway stage play, so it's like a British farce about people putting on a play. So it's a play within a play, kind of within a movie, if you
remember. Gotcha.
It's wonderful. Like, highly, highly
recommend. What's it called?
Noises Off.
Noise. I will check it out.
It's one of my favorite
films. I'll watch that one in my PJs.
Yeah.
With no makeup.
Hi. Yeah. Kim, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you for having
Listeners,
me.
Listeners, you must go to Rodeo Cinema. Stockyard City is your new date night destination. Yeah. Stop at McClintock, stop at Cattleman's, get a great steak, have a dinner, get full, go watch a movie.
Yes.
It's a wonderful night. Go for a nice little stroll down the street. The streetscape is lovely there, too. It's a nice
beautiful
place to just walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe get your sweetie some cowboy boots if he or she or they need them. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot to do. I think it's your new date night destination. I really do.
Agreed. What is your website?
The website is rodeocinema.org.
Okay, wonderful. Rodeocinema.org, and you can find showtimes, upcoming tickets, films.
Tickets. We have a membership program. You can find out more about memberships there.
Yeah. Also, you're a nonprofit, so you can't accept donations that are tax deductible.
Very much so. Yes. So we are at, we love all those things.
Yeah. So if you want to support local cinema, independent cinema here in Oklahoma City in Oklahoma, just come to Rodeo Cinema. It's an amazing place, and you guys have done you've created something really special there.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. I look forward to patronizing it for years to come.
Yes.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, folks. This week, we've got a lot of great events around the state. First up is at the Oklahoma City Civic Center Music Hall. There is going to be a performance of Come From Away. It is a really interesting Broadway show that takes place on 9/12, basically.
Yeah.
What happens when 7,000 stranded airline passengers are dropped into a Newfoundland town during a tumultuous time in modern history? It sounds like an amazing
the day after 9/11. It's about the people that were stranded because they shut down all the flights.
And how the people in this small town in Newfoundland open their homes to people of every creed, color, race, whatever. I think it really does. It sounds amazing, and it's, you know, you can't go wrong with the Oklahoma City Broadway production stuff.
Yeah.
They've been doing
everything
a great
they
job.
Do is awesome. Yeah, so tickets for that. It's February 4th through 9th. Tickets are $27 through $86.
Mm-hmm. Visit okcbroadway.com/CFA for this particular show.
Also happening at Tulsa's BOK Center, you will be able to bathe yourself in the healing oral embrace of power ballads so heartwarming and so moving that they make an Oklahoma sunrise pale in comparison. Okay, we might have overwritten that a little bit.
I don't think so.
I'm saying as an editor. Be sure not to miss musical icon Miss Celine Dion. That is Celine Dion during her first U.S. tour in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she's getting back out there. I mean, she's not exactly my cup of tea, but she's undeniably talented and people love her.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a great concert. It really is. You'll really will earn everyone's respect if you bring your own penny whistle and play it during My Heart Will Go On, which she undoubtedly will be singing, possibly while floating in midair. Who knows? Her shows are a spectacle. Anyway, that's February 5th at Tulsa's BOK Center. And tickets are $49 through $199. And you can visit bokcenter.com for more info or to get your tickets.
That's right.
And your heart will just continue to go on and on and on.
Swing, Swing, Swing by the 50th Southwestern Oklahoma State University Jazz Festival in Weatherford. That's over at SWASU in Weatherford.
This thing is cool. Okay, as a Weatherford kid,
yeah.
I can tell you, like, this thing is legit neat, especially if you love jazz, which I do. It's a good thing to go to.
It is for every age and experience level of jazz.
Yeah.
Seasoned musicians, high school and middle school jazz bands, everything in between. They're going to be performing in a two-day musical extravaganza that will have you dancing to one of America's best attributions to the arts. February 6th and 7th, tickets are $60 for an all-inclusive pass, but there are more individual tickets can be found on the website, which is swosujazz.weebly.com.
I really can't, like, people take for granted how awesome our regional state universities are, like SWASU and Northwestern and Alva, Northeastern and Tahlequah. These are great, great schools, and they have tons of offerings. So really, like, find your local, your nearest regional university and figure out what they've got going on. That SWASU Jazz Festival is a cool deal. Are you looking for fresh tips on gardening or new house decor ideas? I always am. Travel to the scenic town of Grove. Oh, it is very scenic there. For the annual Home and Garden Show, featuring over 100 vendors specializing in everything from home remodeling to cooking skills. Let your DIY spirit fly free. February 7th through 9th, and you can visit groveok.org and click on their calendar of events for more information about that.
That's right. If you are still somehow sticking to your news resolution,
LOL,
but you're also craving a change of scenery, look no further than the Romanose State Park in Watonga. Weather permitting, there will be a four-mile hike under the Oklahoma full moon as the group treks towards Inspiration Point. Officials advise participants to dress accordingly and pack a liter of water.
And definitely leave your werewolf at home.
Yes, yes. There will be plenty to pick up along the way. That is going to be February 8th. Again, weather permitting. Visit travelok.com /Romanose, I believe.
I think so.
To,
you just click state parks on travelok.com. You can find Romanose State Park pretty easily.
But we've got so many
it's
of our
state
parks.
It's a great website. Travelok is a great website. It's very easy to use.
So many of our state parks are doing these planned hikes right now, and it's such a cool deal.
Yeah, they're fun.
It's free. You get out, you enjoy nature, and it's a guided tour where you're going to see some stuff and learn some stuff that you wouldn't know if you were just wandering around there on your lonesome. So.
Also very true. And Romanose really is one of the – I mean, they're all beautiful in their way, but Romanose has a really special kind of beauty to it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming along on this earquake of a podcast with us. thanks to our good friend Kim Haywood for stopping by. And thank you guys for listening. If you wouldn't mind, we'd sure appreciate it if you would subscribe to the podcast and maybe even rate and review us and tell people that our voices are soothing and pleasant and that you've learned everything you need to know to spend your $1 trillion inheritance in Oklahoma. We will definitely show that to our bosses. If you have any questions or comments, you can send those to oktpod@travelok.com. Visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine, which is, after all, kind of the main thing we do.
I'm not kidding. It's good. We're almost done with it.
We were looking at the full layout today, and just everybody was like, man, this is – I feel like we are – on this crazy run right now where every issue is just better and better and better. Like, things are clicking, and I hope more of you will take a chance and pick up an issue and read it, because I think you're going to love it, and I think it'll help help you appreciate Oklahoma as much as we do.
Agreed. It's also just if you like to eat.
Well, this issue,
this
definitely.
This is the one for you, and yeah. Who doesn't?
I am very much looking forward to the feedback on my burger story.
More like feed bag.
Ooh, wow. That's...
Okay, with that dad joke, and I'm not even a dad, I think we're going to say goodbye.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week.